Okay, I hear some of you are kind of snickering at my picture already. Feel free to laugh. This is very open time. You see that, I'm sure you know, some of you recognize that picture from the movie, The Fellowship of the Ring. And so I want to talk this afternoon about community and the power of community. You know, in the movie, if you've seen the movie, you know that it was the fellowship of this small band of friends who were able to conquer evil. And so in the movie. And so I want to talk about just the power of community, of being in community, of being connected to other people. I'm going to share a lot of personal stories about how I've seen God work in my life and my wife's life, share some stories from Scripture. But this is it's the time of year, New Year's, it's just turned over to a new year, and it's time to think about, we all just kind of naturally think about evaluating our lives, evaluating what we invest in with our time, with our talent, with our treasure, and I want to suggest that if you're someone who's seeking to know God more, maybe community is a key to your search. If you're someone who's needing a touch from God, that maybe that touch is going to come through community, through people. If you're looking for direction in life, if you're needing some direction and some counsel for making a decision, it may very well happen that God speaks to you through community. All of these things are true of my experience. And so that's what I want to talk about this afternoon, is how God has drawn us to himself, spoken to us, encouraged us, led us, mainly through people and being connected. And so my challenge is, I'll give it to you right up front, is to make investing in community, investing in friendships, particularly in this church, a very high priority this year for you, because you'll be incredibly blessed, and that's what I hope to communicate to you this afternoon. So will you pray with me, and we'll get started here. Father, thank you for the opportunity just to hear a few words of encouragement from you. And that's what I pray, is that these words would be from you, that your voice would be heard. You know every single person in this room even better than we do ourselves. And you know where we are in our questions and doubts and faith regarding you. And so I just pray that you would speak to each one of us in a way that we can understand. I pray that you'd just touch our hearts today and draw us closer into your community, into your heart today. Just bless us now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just say, as I start out, lay the foundation for why community is important. First of all, God is a community in his very being. He's relational in his very being. He's a relational being. In the Bible, it says that God is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. Now, if you're someone who thinks sort of philosophically or theologically, maybe you have asked the question, what was God doing before he created the world? What was God doing before people were around, or before the earth was here, the solar system? What was God doing? He's eternal. And so, like, what was there for him to do? Well, the scriptures say that he was in perfect, harmonious, loving relationship, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. Listen to this. This is from Jesus, near the end of his life on earth. He had ministered for about 3 years, and he was headed for the cross. He was praying in John chapter 17. And he said, "And now, Father, glorify me in your presence," listen to this, "with the glory I had with you before the world began. Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." And he goes on to say, this is John 17 again, verse 24. It says, "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because," now hear this, "you have loved me before the creation of the world." Because you loved me before the creation of the world, glorify me with the glory that I had before the creation of the world. And so Jesus on earth alluded to his eternal relationship with his Father, this loving relationship with his Father, eternal. And so God in his very nature is relational. He's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They have experienced pure grace, pure love, unimaginable, unconditional for eternity. And so it follows that God created us. The Bible says God created human beings in his image. That can be many different things, but at the very heart of it is that we are to reflect this God on earth. We aren't God, but we're to reflect our Creator as his created beings. And so we as the pinnacle of creation are uniquely equipped and created for relationship. We're to reflect the relationship that God has in his three persons eternally. And we reflect that through being in relationship and in community with other people. And so we're created for relationship. You don't have to be a religious person to know this and sort of instinctively know this. It's why people join, it's at the very heart of why people join clubs and fraternities and sororities. It's at the heart of why people frequent bars. It's for relationship. And people know who frequent bars, people know that there's something wrong with a friend who is drinking alone. There's something wrong with aloneness in that way. People just know it. Because God created us to be in relationship. The worst punishment you can give a prisoner, prison, solitary confinement, to separate them from other people. And so human beings have been created by a relational being, a relational God in his image to reflect that relationship on earth. We're created for relationship. And so if you're going to live the truly human life, you'll live it in community. You'll find it in community. Now, of course, solitude is good sometimes. Jesus went off to be by himself, oftentimes to pray to his Father, to be alone. And so in that sense, solitude is good. I'm talking about being disconnected from other people. When God created Adam in the Garden of Eden, he brought all of the animals to him to be named, and after all of the animals were named, God looked at Adam and said, "It's not good that you're alone. It's not good." And so that's my premise here. It's not good if you're alone. It's not good to be disconnected from other people because you were created to live in connection and in community with other people. And so this church is very committed to that. It's extremely welcoming. It allows us. You heard about the home groups and Seek, and it just this church is committed to helping you to live that out, to live out true community. And so I just want to share four ways that my wife and I have experienced this. Some of you who have gotten to know us a little bit know that we just moved here a year and a half ago. My wife, by the way, is right over there. Wave your hand there. My wife, Sarah. We moved here a year and a half ago, and we were absolutely and totally committed, 100% committed to finding a church family. Totally. It wasn't an option to go through, to move here. We moved from Central Ohio, and we were totally committed when we moved here to finding a church family because we had been so blessed. So blessed. God had met us. God had directed us. God had shown us things that we couldn't have experienced in community. Four ways for us that we have found the blessing of being in community. The first truth is that community is connected to our friendship with God. Our friendship with God. I said that God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in perfect harmony and relationship. Believe it or not, as author N.T. Wright says, that intimate relationship between Father and Son is not a closed circle. It's not a closed circle forever barred to outsiders. We are invited into that relationship. And so the first thing that we've experienced is, as you see this simple diagram of the cross arrows, is that our vertical relationship with God, our friendship with God, is intimately connected to our horizontal relationship with other people. And so, by improving and deepening our human relationships, we make more room for friendship with God. If you want to get to know God as friend, get to know other people as friends. Deepen your human relationships. We found, I thought it would be interesting, maybe in home groups, to think about this, but I found, and I think my wife will attest that, we can point to sort of seasons in our life when our friendship with God was just going well. It was just going well. We were excited about following Him and knowing Him and hearing His voice and pursuing Him and reading the scriptures and prayer and coming, being involved in church and ministry. And it was at those times where our friendships were extremely deep. Our friendships were, we were pursuing friendships with other people intentionally. And it seems like they were just intimately connected for us. That the high times of being close to God meant were high times of being very close to other people. And so that's the first thing we've experienced. For us, that was in planting a church. In 2002, God called us to plant a church near Columbus, Ohio. It was a vineyard church like this one. This is a church plant a few years old. And God called us to plant a church. And from that church, we developed relationships that I'm pretty confident in saying we will never have better friends. We may have maybe equal, maybe close. You may have friends like that, but we developed such friendships, deep friendships, that that sustained us and blessed us, that we'll have for the rest of our lives. I'm confident. I'm confident in that. Just our deepest, deepest friends. And it was at that time of planting that church where we were seeing God move and we were developing our friendship with Him. They were connected, is what I'm saying. And so if you want to get to know God, get involved in community. Seek is a great group to just be involved and hear questions and bounce questions off of each other and hear answers and share stories and where you are in your journey with God. Great place. I encourage you to get involved in that if you're wanting to develop a friendship with God. And so the second way we've been blessed in community is we've been encouraged. Community and encouragement is the second truth. Hebrews 10:20-25 says, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Keep meeting together so that you can encourage each other. During the time that we were planting the church, our personal lives, we were experiencing an incredible roller coaster, to put it mildly. The church was planted in 2002 officially, and it began to grow, and it was blessed, and people were coming to faith, and people were growing in their faith. And you know, it wasn't the perfect place. I don't want to paint that kind of picture, but it was healthy and it was growing. And it was during that time that my wife and I were experiencing incredible pain in our personal lives, specifically in with regard to infertility. In 2002, right when we were, I had graduated from seminary with a master's degree, and my wife had gone through, gotten her master's of education, and we thought, okay, we're through school. We're like 30. That's old. We need to start having a family. And during the next 4 years, we experienced the most difficult things: the highs of getting pregnant, and the lows of experiencing a miscarriage. The highs of finding hope in doctors. And the monthly devastation for 47 months of hopelessness. It felt hopeless. And so we were walking through that while we were planting the church. And you can imagine being the pastor of a church, and like this church, people were having babies. It was great. You know, it was wonderful, it was a blessing, but, you know, I was the one who was doing the blessing on the kids. Some couples were getting pregnant, and they didn't want to get pregnant, and it was unplanned, and it was just you can imagine walking through that. But it was during this time, and my point is this, it was during this time of this desert time that it was the community that sustained us. It was the community. And in particular, just two very specific instances. It was during this time this desert time where one of my friends, one of my closest friends, it was on a Sunday morning, and he said, it was near Christmas time, he came up and he said, "Hey, Chris, I had a dream about you and your family last night." I said, "Yeah, tell me about it." He said, it was Christmas morning, and you were opening presents with your two kids. And he said, "You know, I'm not claiming that that's, you know, a vision from God. I just wanted to tell you that and bless you with that." And my response was, because we were seriously considering adoption by that time, you know, adopting internationally. I said, "What color skin did they have? You know, maybe it's a clue. Maybe we're, you know." And he said, "No, they were..." He said, they were biological kids of yours. And so I just kind of packed that away and, thought maybe that was a hopeful blessing from God. I didn't know. Another one, a much more sort of poignant moment came when a woman named Barb in our church gave this card to my wife. And it was in the midst of this sort of hopeless time. She says, "I have something I feel the Lord wants me to share with you. I've been hesitant to tell you because of its personal nature, but I really feel God says now is the time. Last fall," and she gives a date, September 2004, "God gave me two scriptures for you, Isaiah 44:21 and 1 Samuel 1:1-20. He says to tell you he has not forgotten you, as it may seem. I truly believe he is going to bless you and Chris with a child. Read the verses and hang on to the truth of his word and promises. He has always been faithful in my life, and I know he will be faithful to you too." See, God gave her that word in September of 2004, about 2 years before we got pregnant. And our son, there the day he came home from the hospital, just in November, 2 months ago, is named Peter after my father, and Samuel after that story. I don't know if you know that story of Samuel, but Samuel was a baby born to a woman who was experiencing barrenness in the Bible. And so it was the community that sustained us. God gave words to the people around us to give us hope, to give us direction, community and encouragement. And so as we were encouraged by this, we love to encourage people now. You know, you receive from God so that you can give. And so we love to encourage people in areas where we've walked through very difficult times. In fact, there's a woman back home in Columbus who we just found out last month. Was it last month that Kelly? A couple months ago, that she is pregnant. And she was someone who met with us 2 years ago, hopeless, experiencing some of the same things that we were. And so it's what an incredible blessing to be invited into that, to become encouragers as a community encouraged us. That's the second way. Here's the third way. Oh, let me just say that, by the way, she'll be three in February. That's Anna. We named her Anna Grace, which means gracious grace, which means grace upon grace, gift upon gift from God. Okay, third one, community and ministry, how we've experienced the blessing of ministry. The Apostle Paul uses the image of a body to describe the church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? And if you read that passage a little bit more, he is making the argument that diversity is good and right, and that all of us have something to bring to the table. God has created each one of us uniquely, and each one of us has gifts to bring to the table, experiences to bring to the church. And if you're not bringing those, then the church gets shortchanged. And we've experienced that. During this time of we were led to a doctor, we believe, by God, who is a man of God. Actually, it was 4 years ago, next month. My wife will admit that the Olympic ads on TV bring sort of a tear to her eye, because it was 4 years ago, during the Winter Olympics, that we were in a hospital, a hotel room, recovering in Omaha, Nebraska, from major surgery that she underwent for endometriosis. And so it was 4 years ago that we were in this hotel room wondering if this was how God was going to heal, how God was going to provide, not knowing what the future held. And it was 4 years ago during surgery that it was the body of Christ in Mount Vernon, Ohio, who was in our home for 24 straight hours, praying for us. And so when the surgeon came out of surgery, and he came up to me, and Sarah's mom was there, and he kind of took us to the side to tell us how the surgery went, he looked at me and he said, 10 out of 10. He said, if I were to rate how surgery went on a scale of 10, it was a 10. It was perfect. We did exactly what we needed to do. I'm fully confident that she's healed. And I said, people have been praying. People have been praying. Now, of course, you know, let's just admit that God doesn't always answer the prayers we want the way we want him to answer them. But in this case, that he did. And so I could go on and on about how the community prayed for us over those 4 years, and this is just an example of that, how they did. But it was this ministry, this prayer ministry, that sustained us, that I believe ultimately contributed to healing in this area of our lives. And so we love, as we were ministered to, we love to minister to people. We love to pray for people. We love to share with people how God has touched us. And we love to build people up and hold people up in prayer and in ministry. And so as we receive, we give. That's the way community works. We receive when we build up, when we build into other people, we receive as well. Here's the last one. Community and discernment. Community and discernment. Proverbs 15, 22, 23 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word? How good is a timely word from someone? We received so many timely words from other people, from the community, during this time in our lives. Couple examples. It was right after Anna was born in February of 2007 where I was experiencing intense sickness. It's a chronic disease called colitis. It has to do with inflammation of your colon, and I was experiencing, there's just very different experiences with Crohn's and colitis and these kinds of things, and I was experiencing an intense time of suffering. I lost 25% of my body weight in like 3 weeks. I ended up in the hospital for a week with an IV. And we were wondering what in the world God was doing. And all that to say, it was at this time when I got out of the hospital. It was that spring where we were both at a place in our lives where we said, okay, we cannot keep going like this. We have to change. Something has to change. So we were at a crossroads, sort of at a fork in the path. We were beginning the process of saying, God, okay, we've kind of gone this path long enough. We think you're wanting to move us, change us or change the path we're on. We're going to seek you, try to discern your will for us. And it was during that season that it was the community of God that helped us to discern the path that ultimately brought us here a year and a half ago. And just couple very, very, very poignant times. One was, it was that spring where I traveled to Anaheim, California, to be at the Vineyard National Conference. Being a pastor every 2 years, they had a national conference somewhere in the country, and that year it was in Anaheim, and I just believed it was during this time of seeking God in prayer and scripture and just, what do you want me to do? Lord, where do you want us to go? How do you want to change us? Felt like that was a place that I should go, and maybe God was going to speak to me. And so it was during that week, I was up front. We had worship time, teaching time, much like here. And in a moment, we're going to have some prayer time and offer for you to receive some prayer ministry. Same thing. I went up front and just shared, I'm seeking God for his path for me. And someone prayed for me for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And to be totally honest, I can't remember at all what he prayed. Because it was after the prayer. God does these things. It's very confusing and very fun. He was praying for me for 10 or 15 minutes. I'm sure it was wonderful and I was encouraged. But it was after the prayer was over, someone else walked up to me whom I'd never met. You know, had never met me, didn't know my situation, didn't know anything about me or why I was there or what I was praying for. She walked up to me and she said, I believe God gave me a message for you. I said, go for it. This may be it. And she said, while we were praying and I was watching you receiving prayer, I had this vision of a bullfighter and a bull. And the vision was that the bullfighter was pulling the red cape that had been in front of the bull away. And the bull was charging forward in freedom. She said, I'm not sure what that means, but there you go. And I said, I said thanks. And I thought, okay, is that like God is saying you're free to you're being set free. There's you know, am I supposed to leave the church? Is that free from like my sickness? I didn't know what it was. So over the next 3 months, we were praying and talking. And God confirmed the vision through someone else. And we were praying, we were at a retreat, and we were praying with a couple of prayer ministers, and he said, I have this vision of you being in a prison cell, and you had reached around and locked the door and thrown away the key, and God was ripping the door off of the cell and asking you to leave. And I said, that's exactly what I did when I planted the church. I said, God, I'm not leaving here. I'm not going to go unless you rip the door off and send me. I'd never met him. He didn't know my story. And so we went back to the church and said, God is telling us to leave. We got to go. Not sure where. We got to go. And so it was over those months that God spoke to us through community. He helped us to discern what path we were supposed to take. And so my challenge to you and my encouragement to you is that if you're seeking God, do it in community. And find the friendship with God is connected with your friendship with others in some mysterious way. If you're needing encouragement, you'll find it in community, in the body of Christ. If you're seeking prayer, seeking ministry, healing in some way, it's through the community that God works, oftentimes. And if you're looking for direction, needing to make decisions, get connected in community. God speaks. He wants to bless you.